It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Rick Spain. How are you doing today, brother?
I'm here.
Amen. I'm glad you made
Praise
it.
Praise God.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended if there's no technical difficulties. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, quality work with Christian values. I think I covered it all.
You did it.
Would you please pray to start us out?
It's amazing, Monica.
God is so good. He is. It is not me. It is not me.
Well, you know what? And I think about that, too. He glories in using the unqualified, the ones that are they're lacking, you know, and I'm not speaking about you, I'm speaking about me, you know, but it's God's good.
He's faithful.
He is good.
He doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
Yeah, so we're going to preach to each other, you guys, and you listen in. Yeah. So I'm going to pray to get started here. Father, we love you and bless you because you are good. Your goodness is evident throughout our life, in the high times, the low times, the dreary times. Lord God, you're always there. I thank you. Father, I pray that the words that are spoken this morning meet the people. I thank you, Father. Bring answers. Bring solutions. Bring closure, I pray. Lord God, for the heart that's hurting, I pray healing, Lord God. For the one that's being raised up, Lord God, I pray that they recognize you. We thank you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, I'm going to start out this morning, Monica, saying that I forgot I was supposed to be on air today.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. I actually got the title when I was driving over here, and that's basically all the Lord gave me. And so the reason why I'm telling you this is because not to justify Rick Spain, but to bring glory to God, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear the Word of God this morning, and you are going to be fully equipped for what's ahead of you. And so I want you to understand that, you know, when we get to the end of this program, as we always do, when we say, wow, that was something else. And so, you know, what I want to talk about this morning is, what do you believe? You know, it was back, pardon me, back before the TV had really, I think it was before it even came out, but, there was, I believe it was H.G. Wells. Wasn't it H.G. Wells that had the radio program that talked about the alien invasion? And, you know, and it was a program. But everyone, you know, there were several people listening to it, and all of a sudden they're saying that aliens have invaded the earth. And, you know, and there was a great upheaval and, you know, just crazy stuff going on. You know, and so looking back at that, you think about this title, what do you believe? You know, Paul and Silas were thrown in a Roman jail in Philippi back there in his day, and the jails back then were not what they are today, you know. And so, but anyway, they had them in the darkest part. It's basically a dungeon, darkest part, chained all up, you know. And so, and in the middle of the night, think about this, they began praying, they began singing praises to God, and it said then a mighty earthquake came, and it opened all the jail cells, and the chains fell off, and the Roman jailer came to his senses. I'm sure he was, you know, probably asleep. He came to his senses and seen that all the doors were open. Well, at that time, if you lost any prisoner, then you had to pay the price that the prisoner was in jail for. And so he recognized all the people. He thought everybody had left. And so he's about pulling his sword out and about ready to take his own life. And Paul calls out in the darkness, in the deepest of the dungeon, and he says, wait a second, we're all here. And so, long story short, the jailer comes to Paul, and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And this is in Acts chapter 16. And Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. You know, you never want to take a moment away from this message right here. And this is not where I'm intending to go, but you know what? The Lord gave me a title, so this is going to be interesting. So I don't want to take away from the importance of what's being said here, that what is required of us that we might be saved. And there was one response, one action. Believe. 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 You know, it's, and we look at what do we believe. And I look in, you know, I've been in several churches, and basically I he brought up in church when I was young. Of course, I went another way when I was a teenager, and Jesus found me. You know, he showed up, and so then a new journey began, and you know, I've seen in the church, and you know, I've seen all the rules and all the regulations, and you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to dress a certain way. You know, this would, in my childhood, the way I'm dressed now, I got shorts on and work shoes, and this is my work shirt here, and here I want to promote some here. It's the Fog. And if you don't know what the Fog is, it's the favor of God. And that follows me everywhere I go, not because of me, but because of Jesus. You know, but anyway, you know, I'm raised in church, and I'm taking hold of the rules and all this stuff. And in my teenage years, when I went another direction, that was one of the things that motivated me to go to another direction. Because of all the rules and regulations, and you had to look a certain way, you had to be a certain way, act a certain way, you know, and I wasn't very good at that. Still not very good at it. So basically what you see is what you get, you know, and I believe that's what God wants us to be. So, you know, getting back to the thought of what do we believe, you know, well, in church we believe this and this and this. You know, it's interesting, you know, this is one of the phrases that I hear a lot of times, generally at the beginning of the church service, welcome to the house of God. That always bothered me. That thought bothered me. Because according to the scriptures, I'm the house of God. You're the house of God. When we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we become his house. That's what Paul said. Know ye not that you are the temple of the living God. And so, you know, we take these thoughts and we think, okay, we're going to go to the house of God. Why are we going to go to the house of God? Because that's where God lives, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you're shaking your head there. Our camera woman, she's doing a very good job. You know, now, I might be nitpicking a little bit here, but this to me is an important point. You know, and so when we think we're going to the house of God, well, what happens when we leave the house of God? Are we leaving him there? Okay, yeah. Well, I didn't tell you if you got your toes exposed, they might get stepped on this morning. You know, because when we're talking about what we believe, the basis of our belief system is in what we allow to come through our eyes and through our ears. That is the largest basis of where we establish our belief system. You know, and so if we're watching the local news and they're telling us, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. Should I say vaccine? No, I'm not going to say vaccine. I'm not going to say it this morning. Oh, I did. Okay. Well, might as well. You know, okay. So if you got the vaccine, no condemnation. None whatsoever. If you didn't get the vaccine, no condemnation. None whatsoever. Well, what about we're supposed to obey the laws of the land? Well, there is a dividing factor in there. You know, because God gave us all a conscience. And when we go against that conscience, then what are we actually doing? So, you know, maybe I shouldn't have brought up vaccine. Okay, maybe that's not a good point, but it is a point. It's a point in itself. And so we've got separation between peoples because of this very dividing factor. Well, you know, and so time has shown and time has proven the results. And so you can believe what you want to believe. I'm going to leave that one alone. Yeah, yeah. So maybe I shouldn't have brought this one up. So am I backing up? Yep, I'm backing up. But the point is, we believe because somebody is telling us this is what we need to do. Instead of doing the research ourselves and seeing, is this good for me? Now, I would say, gosh, you know, I'm still on the vaccine. I would say if you are in a compromised situation physically, it probably is a good idea to get the vaccine. If not, I would say pray about it and let the Lord guide you. So let's move on. Let's get over that one. So, you know, but what the point being made is what do you believe? Is it based upon what somebody else is telling you? You know, we've relied on experts for years, experts in this field, experts in that field, you know, and we make our decisions based upon the experts. You know, and what that's done is it's made us, what's the word? I want to say lazy, but yeah, complacent. That's the word I was trying to think. Yeah, it's made us complacent. And especially, in the house of God. And when I say the house of God, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the people of God. And so what we've done is we've allowed the medical experts to determine what we need to take. We've allowed the financial institutions to say this is what we need to invest in or not invest in. You know, we've allowed the politicians to make decisions for us that are affecting our everyday life. And why is that? Because we don't want to stand in the position that God has ordained us to. You know, and what you know, when we're, it's so important to understand what you believe, because a lot of it is based upon speculation. You know, it's just like the thought of welcome to the house of God when we're talking about a building. God does not inhabit buildings. He doesn't. He inhabits people. And we are the house of God. And as the house of God, we should make a stand. We should make a stand against the evil that's going on in our world. So why are we in the position we're in? Why are we in this position, Monica? Do you think it could be because of the complacency? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so when we have a problem, what is our first reaction? An unexpected problem comes and it camps on our doorstep. What's our first inclination? Well, it's to say, well, it's that person's fault. You know, and so where we are now, we're seeing, you know, we're seeing that what I call lies are being exposed. And am I a conspiracy theorist? Well, you know what? There's a lot of conspiracies out there, but when there's a lot of truth coming out and it's proving the conspiracies, are they conspiracies anymore? So, you know, the basis of what we believe, you know, it can't be based upon what the evening news says. So what is the basis of our belief? What is that we can hold on to and say, you know what, when I hold on to this, I don't have to worry, I don't have to be concerned, I don't have to back up. I know this is right. Jesus said, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so the basis of what our belief system should be built upon is not by what the news says, what the, you know, or what anybody else says, even Rick Spain. I was going to say the preacher, but even Rick Spain. You know, you don't base your belief system on what I say. You know, I think about what Acts said, and it's on later on in Acts, and he went into the territory of Berea, and he began to tell them about Jesus and began to expose the Word of God to them. And you know what it said? It says the Bereans didn't just take him at his word. They went home and they searched the Scriptures for themselves. And this is so, so, so important. You know, that in order for us to develop our belief system, it can't be based on what somebody else says. Because if it is, when it's challenged, and I'm going to tell you, it will be challenged. When it's challenged and it doesn't look like it's going to work, well, you're going to start backing up and saying, well, you know what, maybe this is not what God wants for me, or maybe this is God's will for me. You know, and then a lot of the basis of our decisions are not the accountability is not placed upon ourselves, but it's placed upon the person that told us this, or even greater, placed upon him. You know, I tell you that I have done this testimony before, but I'm not going to get into it this morning, I don't think. But when I was just before I turned 30 years old, I was in the ministry. I was associate in a church, and preaching the Word of God, believing God, so on and so forth, a chain of events happened in my life. And so, you know, when what do when bad stuff happens? Well, we get on our face before God, right? Well, I'm praying, and nothing's happening. Absolutely nothing's happening. I felt like that the Lord had led me into this situation, and I assumed where God leads, it's going to be a blessing, right? It was far from a blessing. It was living hell. That's what it was. And so, you know, I'm praying, I'm seeking the Lord, and nothing's happening. Well, you know, it got to the point where I was either had an emotional breakdown or I was right on the verge of it. So I had hives just all over. You know, it's just terrible, terrible. And, you know, my mind wasn't operating right, obviously, you know, with all this stuff going on in my life. And I'm questioning God. I'm saying, God, why aren't you doing anything here? You know, and I'm going on my belief system, and my belief system is crumbling underneath my feet. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, what's going on, Lord? You know, and I'm praying, you know, well, the enemy's in there too. Enemy, he's whispering, and, you know, God's causing all this, and you know, I don't remember what all he was speaking to me. But long story short, I took a sabbatical from God. That was a sad day. That was a very sad day. You know, and the thought was, I wasn't mad at God. I didn't want God to be completely removed out of my life. But I didn't want to trust him. I didn't want to trust him. And so that led to what I call 4 years of self-imposed hell. I withdrew from church and, you know, resigned from my position, withdrew from church, and I did it Rick's way. I trusted in Rick. Bad, bad idea. It was a bad idea. And so what I found myself at the bottom of the well and no way out. And, you know, and I knew in my heart, you know, I needed that commitment to God, but I didn't know how to make it. I didn't know how to get back. And so I don't remember what happened, but ended up going to a church service on a Sunday morning. And preachers preaching, and I mean, it's Holy Spirit's just talking to me. And, you know, I'm just bawling, crying. And it's back when we still had altars, and I'd like to see us have altars again, you know, because people need it. We need it. And so at the end of the service, you know, I don't remember what the preacher said, but, you know, when he gave an opportunity, I went to the altar, and Jesus, he was there. He was there, and what transpired out of this is it's so mind-boggling, but it was like from the point that I decided I didn't want to trust God to the point where I said, God, I'm sorry, I want to trust you again. From that, it just seemed like it was all compressed. That time was all compressed. Scripture tells us that God redeems the time. And so from the point of making the wrong decision to making the right decision, it was almost like an overnight deal. You know, and I mean, it's like I think about Nebuchadnezzar when he was crawling on all fours, eating grass like a cow, you know, because the Lord told him after 7 years, he came back to his senses. He was restored to his position. That's what happened to me. Now, not in the church. Don't get me. Yeah, I wasn't ready for that. Didn't know. But anyway, so I was restored in the in that 4-year period. And so the Lord began to rebuild. And so this led me on a journey. It led me on a journey to discover not that God is in control, because I believe God is in control, but led me on a journey to determine how is God in control. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. But I want to go ahead and take a break here.
You want to go ahead and do prayer requests?